Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Today, we're going to be speaking to a very original writer and thinker who goes by the nom de guerre, Geronimus. He has a creative vision of white people reclaiming their destiny through what he calls Idiocracy Meets Animal Farm, a political theory of the 21st century. It's an ambitious vision that involves more than just surviving. It involves retaking the levers of power of our society for whites. Now, first, Geronimus, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on, Kevin.
Can you tell us a little bit about your background? Why do you care about white people, and why should we listen to what you have to say?
I distilled down ideas in the past 18 years. All right, this is what I did, and my question that I was asking was, you know, we seem to not have cultural and political power like we should. That suits us. And there's a kind of a tension between there, like a gradient, you know, like sometimes when you have one area where it's dry and one area where it's wet, and that creates a gradient, and the water really wants to go from the wetter area to the drier area. You know, we feel a power gradient, you know, we feel the pain of kind of having, you know, our politics and our culture hijacked on us, you know, and used against us in very petty, mean ways that are obvious and enraging at the same time. So anyway, so my question kind of to the universe is, how do we get power back? What do we do? What's going on? And, you know, I knew the answer as early as the 90s. In 1995, all right, so here's where I'll tell my life story.
Okay.
My important moment of my life story. So 1995, I live in the Boston area, in a boarding house with, among other people, a couple of Chinese physicists, one an artificial intelligence guy at MIT, and one of them a physicist at Harvard, and he's a post-PhD. So these guys are way in the stratosphere.
Right.
And they would give me and another American guy who lived there, you know, like they would kind of laugh at us and say, you know, how come Americans are so dumb? You know, and I knew a second language, right? And so I was good at that, but I wasn't good at math. And I should have been. I should have, you know, pushed myself way back then. I regret that. But anyways, and so the other guy got mad, but I was like, you know, you're totally right. I should be, like, you know, in the physics department somewhere, you know, or some engineering or something, right? I definitely could have done it. I should have done it. I failed myself, and a lot of us did. And I went on to see I'm a veteran, so I was able to go to the state university for tuition waived. And that was a real eye-opener for me. What I saw there is that American kids, white American kids, are unprepared at the pace they teach math and physics, right? And so they get flunked out, and they end up in English and psychology. And so they don't get any job. But the people who graduate with a degree in physics or engineering or chemical engineering, they get scouted. They don't just get a job, but they get scouted. And you know, the rest of the kids aren't even really aware of that. Anyway, so what I discovered was the best way to learn math is self-teaching. Art Robinson, he's on YouTube. He homeschooled his kids, and he made them teach themselves. And they went on, you know, they learned all physics and calculus, like Newtonian physics and calculus, by age 16. And, you know, and Art Robinson said 100 years ago, the smart kids just did. You know, Henry Ford, he knew all Newtonian physics and all the topics in calculus, you know, by the time he was 16, 17 years old. And, mm-hmm. you know, that was just a high school education back then, right? What now is a BS in physics was a high school education for the smarter kids, like in, you know, 1900, right?
Right. So the American kids are getting trash degrees while the Asian kids are getting the really valuable, useful degrees.
Yeah. And so what happens is, the Asian kids come from conservative traditional cultures, the kind of cultures that you and I would advocate for and mm-hmm. can't have. We've been deprived of that. American kids have been purposely dumbed down with this sheesh culture, and it's on purpose. And you really see it, and you really feel the pain of it when you see the Asian kids from the conservative traditional societies who got a proper education. You know, they weren't educating for equality over there. They sifted out, you know, they sifted out the smart kids and the dumb kids, right? And they told the smart kids, look, you better learn math or you're going to be a disgrace to your family, right? And these kids end up doing quite well. And our kids, Americans' kids get, you know, they lose out. They end up getting in debt for a trash degree, as you said, instead of a STEM degree. And if they had been better prepared, if they showed up on their first day of freshman of college, already knowing, you know, calculus and physics, then they would be fine. They would blast right through it with A's. And they could. You know, we can do it. It's doable. Homeschoolers do it all the time. The Robinson homeschooling people are going to be ruling this country in 20 years. I swear to God.
What is the Robinson homeschooling system? What is that?
Art Robinson is a professor of physics in Idaho. And he had six kids on a farm in Idaho. And he homeschooled them. His wife died. So he said, look, I can't really help you too much. You got to teach yourself. And they did. And it worked really great. And, it, you know, so it's mostly self-teaching, very little tutoring, very little help from teachers. You just teach yourself. And when they do that, they end up spending a lot more time in it because they're not depending on someone else they're not following the lead of some teacher. They're self-teaching, self-directing. And they end up putting in way more hours. They do 2 hours of math a day, 5 or 6 days a week from like 8 years old till, you know, 16. Yeah, yeah. So that's what, 12 hours a week? Say 10 hours a week, 500 hours a year in in 10 years. So that's 5,000 hours.
Wow. It's more than it. So white people should train their kids to get the basis for a STEM degree way before their college years, and they should homeschool their kids, and the kids should get STEM degrees. How do you put this all together with a strategy to help white people?
Okay, good. So now I'm kind of back on track. Well, my ideal would be like an apartment building in the city. Now, people will say, you know, I want to homeschool and have a farm in New Hampshire. I say, no way. Let's do it like the Hasids do. In a city, you have all the services of a city, right? You have all the sources of income, but you do have to own a building because rents are high. So you got to get a foothold in a city by owning a building, right? And my big idea is that white families should be subsidized so that both parents can stay home with the kids, both parents, not just the mom, but both parents.
Wow,
and focus on schooling the kids.
You're going to need a financial angel to make this happen.
Right, right. Well, there's people out there. I mean, if the right person hears this idea, then it'll happen. And I sure as hell am going to try myself to be that financial angel. Although, you know, it's a tall order to be sure.
But, so you buy an apartment building. It's basically invitation only. And then you get if you qualify, if you meet the standards and are willing to obey, I assume, a set of rules, then you get free housing in a place like Boston or San Francisco or some metropolitan city.
Right.
Why the big city?
Well, then you can take the kids to the best martial arts classes, the best foreign language classes. You could have language nannies over. Get this. You could hire elderly Chinese women and Russian women who don't speak a word of English and have them over to talk to the kids in their own language and install like 5 or 6 languages at once. You know, it, from like native speaking level, right? That would be just one example. You know, the really good kung fu classes, gymnastics, any kind of tutoring you might want. You know, just all kinds of opportunities in the cities that you don't have out in the countryside. I mean, you get the best of every kind of educational opportunity, and I realize that we're really missing out on that. I lived in Moscow, Russia, for 6 months, and I saw like the 10-year-olds. Who are trained to play violin and cello and stuff could get into an American urban orchestra. I mean, they're that good. They sound like pros when they're like 10, 11 years old.
Wow.
And the gymnasts are the best gymnasts. You know, the physicists are the best physicists. The chess players are the best in the world chess players. Like the Russians really have it. And when I was there, it really opened my eyes. I said, this is what American kids are missing. And I actually took violin lessons from a lady who taught at the Moscow, or she graduated from the Moscow Conservatory, but she taught the kids, and 5 of her students went on to the Moscow Conservatory, which is amazing because that's really hard to get into. You know, they didn't just get connections. You know what I mean? It's an audition. It's like the hardest audition in the world.
So many white nationalists are doing the opposite, though. They're saying we need to start an intentional white community, but they're doing it out in Leith, Dakota, in the North Dakota.
No, yeah, you want to be like, you want to be a sort of an other community, but in among other people, so that you're not weird, right? You know what I mean? You don't want to be so like the Hasids, though, but without, you know, you don't wear the funny clothes and stuff. You're just your thing is like, you know, sort of an intentional community in the city, and you have a benign attitude towards the other people, but you know, you're not of them, right? You don't, right? It's just like, you know, you don't have a bad attitude towards outsiders. It's just, you know, but benign, but you know, when kids grow up and they're superior at stuff, that will make them separate automatically, that they'll sift themselves out. You know, that's what happens if they get to a certain age, right, without being messed up and with being raised to be very powerful, they're very unlikely to fall down. They're very unlikely to go backwards, you know.
How do you prevent the children, though, from being negatively influenced by all the garbage culture and the other negative influences in the city? Not only are they centers of learning, but they're centers of degeneracy also.
Well, because both parents are staying home with them all day, so you're keeping them busy with healthy stuff. And you have an apartment building with the same group of, you know, with all like 10 or 11 families, there's your tribe. You know, when you have a whole bunch of people, you have the confidence of being in a tribe. There's something about being in a group of like 20 or 30 people. I think 150 is the max for a tribe. Mm-hmm. But all right. So here's something I noticed. The Puerto Ricans don't separate their families to go get a career and stuff. They all hang out in the same area. So all your cousins, you know, all your cousins and stuff, that gives them a huge social advantage. They are like, they are able to move among us and be their own separate tribe, you know, and use that tribalness, right, to their advantage.
So I assume that this group of people, who are invited to this building, this first colony you create, they're going to have to sign on to an ideology also, like a white nationalist ideology, and teach their kids and agree to have their kids educated in that way.
Yes. Yeah, I would say very eugenics. Just you teach it to them in a way it's like, wouldn't you rather be pretty than ugly? That's all, you know what I mean? You don't have to be like really strict or act like, oh my God, I'm really afraid you're going to betray us. You know, you can't act like you're going to be afraid of betrayal. You just have to be, it's like, hey, if you want to go be ugly, you can go be ugly. If you want to go hang with ugly people, you can go hang with ugly people. That's all. You know, it's free will. You know what I mean? But being in the city, if they're going to go, it's right there. They can go, you know, and if they see it around them all the time and they're like, nah, I think it more immunizes them against it, because it's like, you know, just an everyday whatever thing. You know what I mean? And I think the eugenic families will be the most interesting thing they know by far. You know, the little tribe will be the most interesting thing in the whole city. We'll have to keep people from coming and gawking at us. You know what I mean?
Okay. So you have this community, and you're raising the kids up to value their tribe, their tribe's beauty, their tribe's achievements.
Right.
The parents are high investment parents who are home all the time.
Yes. Maybe have a business on the side, you know?
A business on the side. Okay. But you also talked to me earlier about how these white children could end up taking over the deep state from within. In other words, taking over the power structure. Now, that's a really unbelievably ambitious goal. Explain that.
This idea, this theme has been iterated a few times in real life and in fiction. Animal Farm has a storyline in it. A part of Animal Farm is where a litter of puppies are born to Bluebell, and as soon as they're weaned, Napoleon takes them away and trains them to be his own Praetorian guard. And then at an opportune moment, he chases out his enemy Snowball and chases him away forever, using the puppies grew up into attack dogs. Mm. So, kind of that idea. We're going into a time when, I mean, the trend I see in America is the dumbing down, the great dumbing down. You know, Idiocracy isn't 500 years into the future, it's now. And that is tragic, but it's also a political opportunity to, you know, for people who are not ideocrats to just go in and take over, because, you know, the smart and competent people are dying off, literally dying off, right? And they're just going to leave it to us. I think they will give us power voluntarily just to keep the lights on, honestly. That's how I see it playing out. I don't really see like a big violent war or anything. I see them just saying, take it. We messed it all up. You know, there's no water to drink. There's no, you know, potable water. The grid is down, you know, and the strong men, the hard men will come in and fix it, you know, and we'll be like, hey, we're not taking this shit anymore. We're not taking this anti-white bullshit anymore. That's over.
The idea is to get some power. Right now, pro-whites have none.
The problems in the future are going to be to our advantage. You know, RK selection theory, right?
Yes. Explain it for our listeners, though, in case some of them aren't familiar with it.
So our selection is you have a lot of offspring, but you don't really do anything for them. Like an oyster just throws out, you know, 100,000 eggs all at once, right? Whereas a gorilla will have one baby gorilla and take care of it for like 4 years. So that's extreme K selection in animals. And now with humans, you know, you have bad parents that don't take care of the kids, and those are our select, and they have maybe lots of kids, right? And they don't really care about them. And then you have people who really care about the kids and put a lot into investment into them, and that's more K selection. Now the thing is, they made in this culture, they made our selected cool and K selected uncool, right? And have hugely disadvantaged the K selected white boys. And that's the really the 4chan beta uprising they talk about, you know. But now, you know, the beta males, the K selected guys who, you know, would be good family men are awakening and you know, in political anger, right? And standing up to fight back. And really, I mean, the K selected individual is the superior individual. The K selected animal is like, you know, a gorilla or a tiger, you know, a lion. They take care of their young. They try to keep their young alive. The warthog. I really admire the warthog.
Really?
Yes. The African warthog. If you look at, I mean, they get eaten and eaten and eaten. They just keep fighting. They just keep having baby pigs and, you know, and keep surviving on that brutal savanna, right? They get, the crocs eat them, the lions eat them, the cheetahs eat them, and they fight back. So, yeah. I mean, I really admire the warthog spirit. Also, there's a great YouTube video of a juvenile buffalo, the battle at Kruger, right? A juvenile buffalo gets separated from the herd by some lionesses, and they're chowing down on this juvenile Cape buffalo, and you know, but it's still alive, and eventually the Cape buffalo come and they push the lions out of the way, they scare the lions away, and the juvenile buffalo survives and goes back into the herd and lives to fight another day, and the buffalo chase him away, you know. So I really love watching scenes of like survival, right? Where the will to live is strong in the animal kingdom.
Yeah.
It gives source of inspiration for me, you know, the warthog, the Cape buffalo, you know, and the gorilla that takes care of its young really well, you know. So anyway, so yeah, K selection is our strength, right?
Yes,
because
it is.
The kids who will be very smart and go to Annapolis and go to West Point and go to Air Force Academy and get in the CIA, get in the NSA and so on, you know, that's power, right? And you do, the K-selected people are the ones who go on to those places, not the R-selected people. And the biggest thing they did to us, they convinced us that, you know, being K-selected wasn't cool anymore, right?
And made forced the K-selected people to subsidize the massive birth rates,
right,
of the others. And therefore, they had fewer and fewer children and had fewer resources to devote to them.
You know, and I'm not hearing the alt-right talk about eugenics, but I think eugenics needs to be a big part of the conversation. So this is, and ultimately this idea, you know, of both parents staying home is, I mean, eugenics is potential, but you have to also cultivate it properly, right? And you can have a really smart child, but be born in bad circumstances and they can mess them all up, you know? But, you see, like, I could have been a mathematician, right? When I was in third grade, I was, you know, I could find prime numbers into the tens of thousands and stuff. And had I lived in Soviet Russia, you know, or NSDAP Germany, they would have said, oh, this kid's really good at math, you know, and they was taking me out and had me be a mathematician or a rocket scientist or something, sure. Right? But, it, you know, in America, they were just like, oh, that's funny. It was the hippies, you know, in the 70s. Oh, that's nice. That's cute. Look, he can do all those prime numbers. Wow. And then it didn't do anything about it. And
well, so, we're so, individualists. Yeah. We have no tribe, basically.
Right. You subsidize both parents to stay home. They homeschool the kids who will have calculus and physics. You know, by the time they're 16, they'll go on to MIT, Annapolis, West Point, you know, and so on, and get into the deep state and hopefully do stuff that we like. You know, we're not going to tell them what to do. They'll have to figure that out on their own. All we can do is give them the best advantage.
We'll continue our interview with creative white strategist and activist Geronimus right here next week on American Dissident Voices. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance. You can listen to our 24/7 radio network at natall.com/radio. That's natall.com/radio. You can read our online magazine, National Vanguard, at nationalvanguard.org. That's National Vanguard, all one word, .org. To help us do what we do, send donations to National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. That's Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. You can also donate by accessing natall.com/donate. That's natall.com/donate. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you to never give up.
Skies, we will now have our rebirth. shine.